We need to place God first in all we do. We need to put Him first in everything that concerns us. And I remember sometimes, I think last year now, there was a message that God laid in our hearts about God first. And we said one of the things in which we need to give God for Him to know that He's first is that we need to give Him our adoration. We need to give Him our admiration. We need to give Him our appreciation. How many of us can still remember that message? I don't know how many of us that were around then. Our admiration, our allegiance, our acclamation, giving everything, the totality of it to God Almighty. By placing Him first, God will also give you the first place. When you place God first, God places you what? In the first place. And if you look at the life of the Israelite when they were just getting out of the land of Egypt, and they were about to start a new life altogether, God called them. And in the midst of it all, He called them and He gave them a commandment. That's in Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter number 20, and from verse 1 to 3, thereabout. And He gave them a commandment, a very important commandment to them. And the first commandment in which He gave to them was the most important in the heart of the master. That commandment was so important that He placed it first. Can we just go to that scripture? Exodus chapter number 20 and from verse 1. It says, "And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth." Hallelujah. And the other commandment follows. But this is so important in the heart of God that He placed it first. "You shall have no other God beside me." I want to be in the first place. I want to always be in charge. I want to be the one to dictate the pace for your life. Whenever you give God the first place in your life, God gives you the best place in life. When you place God and you give Him the first place, you allow Him to take the lead. You give Him what? The best place in life. Several times people struggle. They long and they wish that they can get the best things of life. But they stretch and their hands cannot attain it. All because God has not been able to take the first place. Whenever you refuse to give God the best, the first place, that means God has no place at all in your life. Because God does not take any other place aside the first place. He doesn't take the second place. At some point we feel, oh, you know, I can't give God this place. Maybe let me give God this particular place. Let me give Him this second place. Let me give Him the third place or the fourth place. But not the first place. Whenever you relegate God away from His place, which is the first place, then He has no place at all. And that is why He was pressing it in the heart of the children of Israel. He says, "You shall have no any other God." No other God. No other God. No other God. Nobody must take my place. Because I love to be in my place. God loves to be in His place in our lives. He likes to take His place in our lives. And that's why you can see it even from the foundation of the earth. In the life of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, the day they decided not to obey God and they placed God's instruction as the second, they lost His fellowship. They lost the personality of God in their life. So God always wants us to give Him the best place, the first place, because we deserve the best place in life. All the promises he has given to us, they are yea and amen. And we can only achieve them when we decide to place God in his place. If you refuse to give God his place, sometimes we pray and we long and we talk to God. We pray and we jump up, we sit down, and yet nothing is happening. Maybe it's because you have not given God his place. You've seen testimonies. You've seen the power of God in action. You've seen God rend the heavens and miracles all around the place. But yours never happened. Maybe you need to look inward. Maybe God is not in his place. Because whenever he's not in his place, then he's nowhere. God always wants to have his place in our lives. His place is the first place and no any other place. Hallelujah. And whenever we give God his place, there are blessings attached to him having his place. There are promises that he has given to us that we will get when we give him his place. His word is yea and amen. We've read the scripture several times, but they've not found fulfillment in our lives. You need to look inward, because God needs to take his place. And there are a lot of blessings, lots of benefits. And this evening, by the grace of God, we'll be reminding ourselves some of the blessings of placing God or giving him the first place. The benefits or the blessings of placing God or giving God the first place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, somebody. Read the book of Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah chapter number 26 and verse 3. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. It says, "Thou will keep him," or "thou will keep me in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee." Thou will keep him what? In perfect peace. Thou will keep him not in ordinary peace. He will not keep him in just the peace that the word giveth. He said he will keep him in perfect peace. If you have another version of the scripture, can we have it? So that we can have a better understanding. My amplified versions here says, he said, "You will guide him and keep him in perfect and constant peace, whose mind, both his inclination and his character, is stayed on you, because he commits himself to you, lean on you, and hopes confidently in you." That is, he gives him the first place. Please, if you can have another version, I don't know if you have another version of that same scripture. When you put your stay on Christ, God gives you the best place. He keeps you in perfect peace. He keeps you in perfect peace. He keeps you in perfect peace. Several people around, they long to have perfect peace. They have money, but yet they don't have peace. They have children, yet there is no peace. They have material gains, but yet there is no peace. But whoever is faith and his mind is stayed on God is entitled to perfect peace. That's what that scripture is saying. He said he will guide him and keep him in perfect and constant peace, not a peace that is short-lived. In constant peace, whose mind, both his inclination and character, is stayed on you, because he commits himself to you, lean on you, and hopes confidently in you. When you lean on God, that means you allow him to take the lead. When you have confidence in God, that means you allow him to have the first place. When you allow God to have his place in your life, the first blessing is that you will enjoy perfect peace. You will enjoy perfect peace. You are entitled to perfect peace. Perfect peace is part of your what? Entitlement. When you lean on God, when you stayed on him, when you give him the first place, when you give him the first place, sometimes we get busy. And, you know, so with so many activities. And yet, we forgot to give God his place. We get busy. rush out of the home in the morning, and we never ask for the guidance for him that made the day. Sometimes when we get to a crossroad in our businesses, we try to lean on our own understanding, and we forgot to lean on him to ask him for direction. But as many that leaned on God, in whose mind he stayed on God, are entitled to perfect peace. Somebody please say perfect peace. I say somebody say perfect peace. Today the world is full of trouble. Trouble everywhere. ISIS, Boko Haram, Fulani X-Men. The UN was formed because what? The world needs peace. The AU, African Union, was formed because we need peace. ECOWAS was because of peace. The peace treaties. All sorts of issues because we want to form an alliance so that when there is trouble, we can come together and combat it. The world is going through stuff today. Many people are also going through stuff today. But you don't need any ECOWAS. All you need is just leaning on God, putting him first, giving him his first place. Because there you will get perfect peace. There you will get perfect peace. Read the book of John chapter 14 verse 27. John 14, 27 says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. My peace I give unto you. In the midst of those challenges, let not your heart be troubled. In the midst of all those turbulence, let not your heart be troubled. He said, my peace I give unto you. Jesus Christ and his disciples, they were on a journey. The Bible said there was turbulence everywhere, but Jesus Christ was down in the down part of the ship. What was he doing? He was sleeping. They woke him up. He came and what? The Bible said he rebuked the wind. And there was what? There was perfect peace. I want to tell you this evening that for as many that will put God first in everything they do, they are entitled to perfect peace. Hallelujah. Also, if you read the book of Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and verse 6. It said, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not in thy own understanding. In all thy ways, do what? And he will do what? Direct your paths. Everyone that placed God first have divine guidance. Divine guidance. That's another great blessing for those that please God first. Sometimes when you meet some sisters or some brother, when they get to the junction of making decisions of whom to marry in life, you ask them, has God spoken to you? Have you ever heard from God who you're supposed to get married to? Or is there anyone you love? They say, you know, I have 3 or 4 brothers I love. How come? Say, I love this one because, you know, he's gentle, he's calm. But the truth is, he has no money. I love this one. He has money, but he's very violent. I love this one. He's in the service of God. I just like his personality. But you know one thing? He has no money. But I'm confused. I'm not very sure. But when whoever placed God first, we always have divine direction. You can't miss your target whenever you place God first. You can't miss your target. You can't miss your target at all. It's not possible for God to be the one leading you, giving you direction, setting the pace for your life, and then you say you miss your target. It's not possible. I've not seen it. I've not seen it before. Everyone that has given God the first place and allow God to direct their path, though initially those decisions might look very awkward, but trusted in God and did not lean on their own understanding, they always lead to their destination. You always get to your destination.
And I remember the story of our dad in the Lord, Pastor Iyadebe. He said several years ago when God called him, and God told him where you're going to be staying is what is in the bush on Lagos Ibadan Expressway. Nobody was staying there as at then. It was thick bush, forest, where monkeys live, where lions are. But he leaned on God. He trusted God for direction. He held on to him. He didn't lean on his own understanding as a doctor or as a mathematician. Today, that same bush is a mighty city. And after that, what happened? You see many churches also moving in that direction. You can't miss your target. God is telling you, for the second half of this year, I want to achieve much. I want to do better than what you have seen in the first half. I have something magical, something great, something exceptional to deliver unto you in the second half. But you need to learn to trust me. You need to learn to put me first. Because when you put me first, you get the best also out of the second half. You can't put God first in the second half and then you become a wanderer in the second half. It's not possible. Even when people lack direction, when God is leading the way for you, you will always lead to your own destination. I don't know how many of you have ever gone through a path and you miss your way. How frustrating it can be. When you get to the first place, they tell you, oh, you are looking for a number something. You need to go maybe another 100 meters. And on getting to the 100 meters, I tell you, oh, turn left. And after turning left, go straight. You see one four-story building. After that, take your right turn. When you get to the right turn, you see a black gate. Then just go along that. There is a road adjacent to that one. And then you keep going. And on getting to that place, they tell you, oh, sorry, you've missed your way. It's actually 1 kilometer away from where you're coming from. It can be very frustrating. For the remaining half of this year, God doesn't want you to be in that frustration. He wants to lead the way for you. But you need to place him the first. In everything. In your time, you need to place him the first. Even in your finance, you need to place him the first. Sometimes we look at it, what have I achieved this year? It's as if things are not moving for me. It's as if I've not really gotten so much. I've had testimony, but I've not partook of it. You might not partake of the first half, but your own blessing might surely lie in the second half. Because it is not possible, and I say it again, it is not possible for God to bring you to 2017. Just come and waste your time. It's not possible. It's not possible. Other people have been getting contracts, but yours has not come through. Then wait on him. Lean on him. Because if he didn't do it in the first half, surely it's available in the second half. Because God cannot bring you all the way to 2017 to just waste your time. If God has finished with you in 2016, would have closed your chapter. The only reason why God is bringing me to this year is because what? He hasn't finished with me yet. There's still a lot of things for him to deliver unto me in 2017. And I will achieve it. By what? By placing God the first. By allowing him to lead the way. This year, it's as if nothing is working. This year, it's as if the government doesn't have any headway. It's as if they don't lack, they lack the insight. Even in the thick darkness, of the economic problem in which we are right now, I can tell you God can shine his light on your path. He can shine his light even on your path to give you a direction. In the mighty name of Jesus. I say, in the mighty name of Jesus. Another blessing of giving God first is that you will dwell in safety. You will dwell in what? You will not be afraid. You will dwell in safety. Irrespective of what is happening, left and right. 10,000 might fall by your right hand. Another 1,000 by your left hand. With your eyes you will see them, but they will not come near your dwelling. In 2017, that people say, oh, it's a time of recession. and many many businesses are folded up. Many people, they got salary decrease. But yet, even in this church, we had people that also were upgraded. This year, that people say there is no miracle, there is no blessing, that there is no business anywhere. People have gotten their best blessing even in 2017. And yours is on the way in the name of Jesus. I say yours is on the way in the name of Jesus. Read the book of Psalm chapter 125. Psalm 125 and from verse 1 and 2. They that trust in the Lord. Psalm 125 verse 1 and 2. It says, they that trust in the Lord shall be as what? Which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth even till tomorrow. We're not following. I said even till next week. Forever. Forever and ever and ever. Forever and ever. For those that trust in the Lord, they are like what? Mount Zion. They cannot be moved. They cannot be moved. In the midst of challenges, in the midst of adversity, in the midst of war, they are like Mount Zion. They are not afraid. When people are saying there is a casting down, they are not afraid. When people are saying there is recession, they are not afraid. When they can see the diseases going around the places, they are not afraid. Who knows? They can even have the symptoms of those diseases. They are not afraid. Yet, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I put my hope on him. Yes, I don't have any other option. All my eggs, I cast it in his basket for him to lead the way. They that trust in Lord, they shall be like Mount Zion. Your safety is guaranteed when you place God the first. Your safety is guaranteed when you place God first. There might be 10,000 falling by the right. It doesn't concern you. They might have sacked 4 people and it's as if you are the nest. It cannot come near you. It might be that whenever people are getting to 40 in your family, something awful start happening to them. But for your own, your case is different. Yours is different because you've placed your hope in God. Your safety is guaranteed. I place God first. My safety is guaranteed. I place God first. The life of my wife is guaranteed. Our promotion is guaranteed. I place my hope in God. The safety of my children is guaranteed. It's guaranteed. I cannot place my hope in God, my trust in God, and yet the life of my children are not safe. Not possible. I put my trust in God, and it guarantees my safety. Whoever puts his God first in his life, he enjoys guaranteed safety. Hallelujah. So when you read those scriptures, don't just read them. You need to proclaim them into your life. I shall live, I shall not die, to declare the glory of the Lord in the land of the living. It is well with my wife. It is well with my soul. It is well with my children. It is well with my sibling. We shall not be afraid. Because he that lives in us is greater, is bigger than he that is in the world. The most powerful God lives in me. Why should I be afraid? Though there might be war, there might be pestilence all around, I trust my God because he is the first in my life. Place him first, and then your safety will be guaranteed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, somebody. Also, if you place God first, you will have all your needs met. It's part of the blessings of putting him first. A lot of promises God gave the children of Israel. If you place God first, you have your needs met. And if you read the book of Matthew now, chapter 6 and from verse 31. Matthew chapter 6 and from verse 31. It says, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? Or whither shall we be clothed? For after all this, do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Hallelujah. Your heavenly Father knoweth that what? You need these things. Your heavenly Father is in the know that you need these things. You might be living in a duplex apartment, yet you still need to trust God, because there are houses and there are houses. There are clothing and there are clothing. There are shelters and there are shelters. So I want us to have understanding of this scripture. It says, your heavenly Father knows that you have the need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek ye what? Seek ye what, church? First. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. All this, even all of this, will be added unto you, because he knoweth that you are in need of them. How many of the parents here, you know that your children are in need of a shoe or clothing, and you get to the market and you have the power and the ability to buy those clothing and you don't buy it for them? How many of us, you get to the market, you are willing, you have the power, you have the financial power now to buy those things, and you know that your children are in need of it, and you will not give it to them? It's not possible. How much more our Heavenly Father? He knows that you are in need of it. He knows that you are in need of that job. He knows you are in need of that house. He knows you are in need of that possession. He knows you are in need of that land. He knows that you are in need of that finance to be able to sort out that project. He knows. So if he knows, as we've learned in the past, is also willing and also have the ability to deliver it unto us. He's willing, he has the ability, and he knows that you are in need of it. He will surely give it to you. That's what the scripture is saying. But he said we should place him what first? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of this will be added unto you. All. Not part of it. Not only shelter or food. All of it. Because if you refuse to place God first or to lean on him, there is no difference between you and the Gentiles. He said, after this, do the Gentiles seek after? They are so worried. When they get home at night, they are threatened. That how are they going to make the next ends meet? How are they going to do the next contract? But you have an heavenly Father who is aware of your need before they even surface. And he has provided a solution before even that problem comes. He has given you the victory before what you even go to fight the battle. That's our God. Just as Pastor would say, we are not fighting for victory. We are fighting from what? From victory. Because before the battle came to be, the victory has already been given to us. Jesus Christ has given us the victory. For every challenges you are going through today, God is not going to go and start designing or looking for a way to make the solution. Before those challenges came to be, those solutions have already been made. They've been prepared for you. That's why you need to lean on him and just relax. Because you serve the Almighty God, the all-powerful, the all-knowing God, the all-wise, God. Yes, everything has been done for you. That is why I need not fret. The best of the air, they might be afraid of tomorrow. The Gentiles, they might run from pillar to post. But for me, I trust in God. I trust in Him. I trust in Him. I might not have the offer letter, but I know that I have a job somewhere waiting for me. Yes, the offer letter might not have come to place. In fact, I might not have even attended any interview, but I still trust Him. We've had testimonies upon testimonies here of people not applying for job, yet they were called for interview. I remember a brother here. He said he was still 7 when they got to know about him. Someone without any experience, a foreign company coming to the country, they were looking for a designer. He said he didn't know how they got his contact. He got his employment miraculously. And the main thing that really amazed him was that immediately he said, I'm still 7. They said, we don't mind. Don't worry. You can be working for us remotely and we're paying you. And when they gave him the offer letter, he said something. He said, he shouted, Jesus. There are some miracles that will threaten your faith. Not only problem, threatens faith. Sometimes I say it's only problem that threatens faith. There's some miracles when you see them, they threatens your faith. That is it possible? Why will God not do yours? Why will He not make it happen? Maybe it has not happened because in an aspect of your life, He's not the one taking the first place. I need to check in within. Maybe there's an aspect I need to just give Him my all. Maybe He has been calling to the place of service. I need your time. Come over. Come over, son. Come over, daughter. I just need you here. And I always tell people, I said, when Christ was describing the church, He said the church is a body. And if you look at the structural design of the body, every part of the body has a distinct and a peculiar assignment to perform. The eyes has its own assignment. The hands have its own assignment. The legs have its own assignment. It would be unfair for the legs to be complaining to the eyes that the eyes cannot go everywhere, that is the only one going everywhere. It's very unfair because the eyes was not designed to take you everywhere. So is every one of us in the body of Christ. Every one of us, God has deposited some gifting in our lives. And every of these gifting are for the edification of the body of Christ. If you refuse to perform your role, you make the body inefficient. If you come and on getting to see, follow up, and you see Brother Odugua, and while he's talking, you say, even this brother is not very eloquent. Maybe God has given you the gift of eloquency so that you can impact him. You don't need to complain that he doesn't have it. And anytime you refuse to play your role, then you make the body what? Inefficient. But by giving your time to the place of service, you are as well saying, God, you owe my all when it comes to my time. And then you see God acting on your behalf and making and bringing to be those things in which you have asked for it from Him. Yes. When you give God the first place, you see God coming to be in those situations of your life. You see God meeting every need. Every need are met. Clothing are met. Shelters are met. Food are met. Those projects are done. Those jobs come to be. And that's why as believers, as much as we trust God, we need to learn how to bring those things that be not as though they were. Commanding them to take their place. Commanding them to come to be now. We need to learn that. And several times God has taught me even that in my life. I will pray, I will cast out, I will fast about issues, and yet I'm not seeing results. But God is just telling me, come on, just go and command. You are in the place of authority. You don't need to be calling one angel, Angel Michael, to come. No, that's not their era now. Sometimes you just need to come and what? And decree a thing. You say you shall decree a thing and shall what? Shall come to pass. When you know your place, when you give God his place, God will show you your own place in life. When you give God the first place, God will show you what? Your own place. He will show you your direction. He will give you guidance.
Let someone shout hallelujah. Let someone shout hallelujah.
So he knows what you need. He knows. He's aware of it. And I love one song. They said, I have a Father. He does what? On me his own. He never leaves me. No matter where I go. He knows my name. He also knows your need. He knows my every thought. He sees each tears that falls, and he hears me when I call. So he knows your name, he knows your need, he knows everything, and he doesn't only know them, he has the ability, the capability, and is willing to deliver them unto you. Glory be to God. Let's see if we can take one more this evening before we go to pray. Also, one of the blessings of placing God first in your life is that you will enjoy sound health. Only one person said amen to that. I say you will enjoy sound health in the name of Jesus. From the book of Exodus chapter 23 verse 25. Exodus 23 verse 25. I love that scripture so much. It says, you will serve the Lord your God, and will bless your bread and your water. That talks of increase. And he will take sickness away from the midst of thee. There shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren in the land. And the numbers of thy days I will fulfill. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I cannot be serving God and my body will now be the dumping ground for sicknesses and diseases. No. No. Sometimes you need to provoke some holy anger. If you know the scripture and you know your place in God, it will provoke some holy anger within you. How come you are serving God? This promises is in place, and yet my body is the dumping ground of sicknesses. No! Have sicknesses within me. He said, no. He said, I will serve the Lord my God. Am I serving God? Yes. Have I given him his place? Yes. Serving God, saying what? Giving him what? Your all and giving him his place. I cannot be serving God and my body is now the dumping ground for diseases. No! I cannot be serving God and the body of my children is the dumping ground for sicknesses and diseases. You need to say no to it. No! No, it's not possible. No! And that through that, you need to decree these promises to come to place in your life. That it might not have been active before now, but from this henceforth, I decree that these promises will be active over our lives in the name of Jesus. It will be active over our home in the name of Jesus. It will be active over our health in the name of Jesus. You will serve the Lord your God. God gave these promises even in the Old Testament. when what they had was the shadow of what we now enjoy. It says they will serve the Lord their God, and they will live in perfect health. He said he will take away sicknesses from you. And these promises have been active over our life in this church. I've seen sicknesses. I've seen diseases. Not something that you conceive in your own mind. No. Something that you see medical reports supporting. How come you won't believe that? How come you won't believe that? And I remember a sister, she had a growth on her neck, and she's been struggling through the growth for several years, and she has gone far and wide, paid so much, she has suffered so much from many physicians. And on this same altar, she came after a simple prayer of faith. She went, did the first test after like a week, because she can't feel it anymore, and she was just feeling, I think, are you sure it's not that I'm just feeling that this thing is gone and it's still there? She did the first test after like a week. She came back. She said, no, don't let me show people yet. It's possible that machine might be malfunctioning. Let me go to another good place, a better place to go and confirm. And she confirmed that it is because of these promises. I said, it is because of these promises. And sometimes we make this mistake, including me. Sometimes you say the person has gone to the best of doctors. You know, he has visited the best of doctors, and yet there is no solution. There's nobody today, no, irrespective of what you've studied, irrespective of knowledge that you've amassed, that you can call the person the best of doctors. And I want to make this analogy. If you have a Toyota car that has an issue, and you've been struggling through the issues, and you've taken it to roadside mechanics to work on them, and day after day you see those issues coming back to place. In the morning, this one work on it, collect your money, and yet it's not working. You go to another one, and they do that, and they work on it, and they couldn't trust, and they couldn't solve it. Where's the best place you go to? You take that car back to Toyota place, where they will do what? Where they manufacture the car. The people that assembled that car, they have the best knowledge about that car. When they work on it, what happens? They will diagnose it and tell you, this is where the problem is coming from. And many of us have been victims. You've suffered so much from roadside mechanics. And then when you have lost hope, you took it to where it was made, and then they fixed the car back to the perfect shape. The same thing with our body. You cannot take them back to a doctor. My apologies to all the doctors in the house this evening. And you look at it and say, I've gone to the best of doctors. I've spent money. I've gone to Indian. I've gone to US. I've seen the great, all the physicians. But there is nobody that can fix it like the one who made you in the first place. That is the best place. He's the best doctor. He's the best physician. He's the best neurosurgeon. He's the best orthopedic. He's the best. He is the best of all, because he's the one that made us. He's the one that assembled us. We were made by him. We are his handiwork. So I can try to see what the doctors will do. If they cannot fix it, the best place for you to run to is God himself. Not for you to lose hope. Even when we come to the place of prayers and we come to church, some of us, we've lost hope. Maybe it's my lot. Let me just take this. Maybe that's what God has designed for me. Maybe this is just my own, my own pain. Let me just go and manage it. No! You need to trust God and take it back to him, because it is he that has made us. He's the one that has assembled us together. And that is why you will see a sister that has lost her womb as a young lady. After waiting on the Lord for 20 years, she came back and said, I have a triplet. The The doctor will tell you and say, oh, you only have a growth. It is a growth. It is a growth the first month. This is a growth the second month. It is a growth to the ninth month. And lo and behold, triplet came out of that same womb. Only God can do that. How come they will tell you and say, oh, yeah, this heart is very bad. And I remember even the case of our pastor. When they brought the result and said, oh, the case is very bad. You need to go to see the doctors. Their own best of doctors. Go and see it. And while we pray and trust God. And I remember he was very reluctant then for him to go. And at some point, we came to a conclusion that if you don't go, they will tell you that maybe you don't believe in medicine. And you too, you're a pharmacist. It's God that has given wisdom to doctors. Yes. It's God that has given what? Wisdom to what? To doctor. But I know we said something, that this is so that the name of the Lord might be glorified. I remember the ministers then praying and trusting God. And the second day of our prayers, God gave us a word that he's been healed perfectly. And we made that same pronouncement. He traveled. He went to US. He had an appointment with the best of doctors. And after running some series of tests, I think it took like 3 or 4 days. This test, the second test, the third test, they will come and then they do the analysis. They came back and they told him, your heart is in perfect condition. He has not gone through any surgery. He has not done any medication since that time. He went and he came back. I think about 2 years now, or 3 years, went to about 3 years now. To the glory of God. If God can replace the heart, a failing heart, with a brand new heart, because it's the one that made us and not we ourselves, why can't we just put him first and trust him for everything? If he can give, this is what I've seen, it's not something I had. Someone that his leg is limping, and just in a service like this, a word of knowledge came forth that your leg is short. One of your leg is not equal to the other one. And you've been praying to God. And God said the leg is growing. There's some miracles that is very difficult for you to believe. But when the brother comes out and you see that truly he can stand very well, and you can have 2-3 testifiers, and you can see his trouser length has jumped up. Why won't you believe that? Why won't you believe that? Why won't you believe that? I've seen people get healed through medicine, but I've seen God wrought mighty miracles just by the outpouring power of the Holy Spirit. And one thing I've also seen, also in the life of believers, is that sometimes we believe God and we trust God that, oh, I'm going to get healed in this service. And the person that wants to preach comes and say, today, we just want to praise God. Or today, we want to discuss about faith. Or today, we want to talk about hope. Or today, we want to talk about evangelism. You lose faith. But one thing I've seen, whether it's faith or holiness they are preaching about, especially in the redemption camp, miracles happen. Miracles happen. So even as we are gathered here tonight, and we are learning and seeing the blessings of putting God first, I want to tell you that a lot has been done in the spirit realm, in the mighty name of Jesus. And somebody will come back testifying to this, to what God has done, in the mighty name of Jesus.
I said somebody will come back, testify to the blessings of God in the precious name of Jesus. So when you place God first, you are sure of sound health. You are sure that your body will no more be a dumping ground of sickness because of his promises. If you know that you want to make an allegiance to God this evening, that Lord, from now onward, in every sphere of my life, I want to make you first. You can rise upon your feet and just tell it to the Almighty God. Just rise upon your feet this evening. I begin to tell it to the Master. The Father, from henceforth, I want you to have my allegiance. I give you my first. In my home, take the first place. In my job, take the center stage. Lord, in my business, I want you and you alone. Somebody just talk to the Almighty God this evening. The Father, take the first place. Take the first place. Somebody talk to the Almighty God. Let heaven hear your voice this evening. That Lord, I want you to take the first place. When you give God the first place, he takes you and gives you the best place. You want the best in that sphere. You want the best in your career. You want the best as concerning your health. Just take it totally to the Master. Father, from henceforth, I give you the best place. I give you the best place. Come and just talk to the Most High God. In the name of Jesus. Mala prole indelebo si po soto ya kaladalia. Mala prole indelebo legele indelebo maya kaladalia. E prole indelebo si po soto ya kaladalia. But I give you my all. I give you my allegiance. I give you my all. I give you my all. Take the first place. In the name of Jesus.
You are God from beginning to the end. There's no place for argument. In my life, you are God all by us.
If that's your allegiance, can you just take it to just say,
you are God, oh, from me.
I want to hear your, I want to hear our voice. Everyone to hear our voice.
Oh, for argument. Oh, Jesus, you are God, you are God.
Over my life, over my family, Lord, you remain God. Lord, I might not have gotten that job, but I trust you. Though you slay me, I trust you, Lord.
Oh, you are God.
You are God. Tell it to the Master. Trusting God for healing in your body. You lift up your right hand, place your left hand even in that same place, and you sing that song. All you want to do is just to sing that song, and that will be all tonight. Somebody say, oh, you are God. Lift up your right hand.
Oh,
that's the place. You are God. Oh, you are God. You are God.
From beginning to the end.
Oh,
there's no place for argument.
I pull the elbows, see both sorts of elbows. Father, that growth behind.
You are God over all.
You are God over that pain. You are God, God. Woman, that's no place.
Concerning
your marriage, so is God.
Father, we pray in Jesus.
There's no place for arguments. You are God over yourself.
Our Redeemer, our King, we declare tonight that you are God over all. You are God over every situation. You remain God over our circumstances. Father, you are God over the raging storm in our life. You are God over the raging storm in our businesses. You are God even over that raging storm, even in our career. Lord, over that sick baby, Lord, you remain God. Lord Jesus, though we've been struggling through with hepatitis B, Lord Jesus, you remain God. And because you are God, we know that tonight you've taken away every ailment. We know you've taken away every pain. We know you've taken away every disease. Because you are God and we're giving you the first place tonight, we know that our body will no more be the dumping ground for every disease. Father, we give you all the glory. Father, we put a seal upon what you've done tonight. And we trust, Lord, that they will remain irrevocable, unchangeable, unbreakable, irreversible, in the precious name of Jesus. Father, we give you all the glory. Thank you for answering us, Lord. For in Jesus' precious name we are praying. A resounding amen. Only the people here believe. Somebody shout every amen. Can we clap and give God a praise tonight?